Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Issue Is Podcast Extra. This is where we get an extra chance to talk to some of our favorite panelists and get to know them a little bit better or dig into some of the issues a little bit more. And what's kind of fun about this week is I got my friends with me. Elizabeth Wagmeister is here. She's the senior correspondent for Variety. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Gray Drake is here. She is Ms. Movie Phone.
Hello. And welcome me to the podcast.
Excellent. And Nick Reitzer is here, producer of The Issue Is.
Thank you for having me. I can't do the movie phone voice.
Yeah.
That's fine. Don't try.
Not
it's
try.
Actually.
I didn't try either, Nick. Don't worry.
No, guys. You're good. The cops will find you.
Yeah.
Trademark.
We're excited to have you, Nick, and we pay you to be here, so it's all good. The issue is right now the Oscars. It's Oscar week here in Southern California. Of course, the movie industry itself is one of the most important industries in all of California. We often talk about California political issues, don't spend enough time talking about the entertainment industry, which is one of our most important industries. So we're going to dig into that a little bit, talk about the Oscars a little bit too, some predictions, maybe even get a scoop or two on Harvey Weinstein, which Elizabeth has been pouring into. But maybe I'll start this question with you, Elizabeth. When we look back at the Oscars, we think of it as a celebration of film in 2019. What are we most going to remember about film in 2019?
You know, it's an interesting question because I think prior to, if I could predict the Oscars, prior to, you might say what we would remember about film in 2019 is that streaming services really continued to take over. This seems the year that not just in film but also television, the streaming wars have hit an all-time high. But again, predicting what I think Gray and I will be saying, I don't think it's going to be a big night for streaming. So that's interesting because the Oscars are not going to be a great kind of analysis of what has happened in the industry. I think we're going to see a lot of the more traditional studios walk away with a lot of statues. And Netflix, I think, even though they have the most nominations, they'll just walk away with a few.
And Gray, why do we think that is? Is some of that old Hollywood pushing back?
I think so. I think they're real cranky. I just love it. I love it because this is kind of when you think about it, this is capitalism at its best, right? It's supposed to inspire competition. And what's happened in the studio system is that so few movies get made outside of a $1 million movie or a $175 million movie.
Right, which is a sequel of a movie made 20 years ago.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, don't get me started on Dr. Doolittle. We're not gonna talk about that next year at the Oscars. And so streaming has really come in and they've filled that gap.
Right.
And so what I'm really crossing my fingers for is that this is going to teach Hollywood that they have to make room for other movies or else they won't be able to compete. The fact that Netflix isn't going to win many Oscars, I don't think even matters because they're there with the most nominations.
Right.
It's so exciting. I love it. They spent so much money on all their campaigns. And it's just, I can hear the studio executives cowering in fear, like, we got to do something. And I hope it's that they tell more interesting stories as a result.
Because, Elizabeth, so many people have Netflix, are more people actually seeing these movies on Netflix than they would be in a theater?
You know, it's an interesting question. I think that obviously viewing habits are changing for consumers. You know, less people are going to theaters and taking in the more traditional theatrical experience. It's much more convenient just to sit on your couch. But when you bring up kind of old Hollywood pushing back, that fight really started because of the Oscars. We all remember Steven Spielberg. He was one of the first to say Netflix shouldn't be eligible for Oscars. And that's why we see that these streaming services, namely Netflix, they're having a limited theatrical release just so that they can be eligible for Oscars. We also saw Martin Scorsese, who, of course, he is nominated. His film The Irishman is nominated. He has also spoken out against, you know, the less traditional viewing habits for films. But,
right,
you know, I think maybe that is true that more people have seen a few of those films. But this year in particular, when we're looking across the board at all the nominated films, a lot of these films have done very well at the box office. If we look past at Oscars, maybe the past 2-3 years, it was the years that people were saying, I've never heard of this movie. I've never heard of this actor.
Yes.
They've made maybe $10 million at the box office. This year, we're seeing quite a few past the $100 million mark.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we've got Joker. We've got 1917. I love the fact that it got nominated and saw a huge boost at the box office.
Right. Because Golden Globes really helped 1917 a lot.
With the decline of award show popularity, It really made me excited and hopeful and optimistic. I'm not used to saying those words.
And just talking about the way people watch movies is different. If you look at some of the statistics from Netflix, like so many people started The Irishman, but not that many people finished it. It was like
It was 3.5 hours.
I know,
hours.
But it's if you go to a theater, with few exceptions, you probably don't walk out of the movie theater if you're at The Irishman. I went and saw it.
No, because you paid $1 million to get there.
Exactly. Right? Like I saw The Irishman at a theater because I knew that I would not be able to sit through that at home. So I went and saw it at a theater. But like, isn't it changing the kinds of movies or the way that we experience them a little bit?
Do you know that? Yes, is the answer. I think it's changing the way that people experience them. But it's also, I mean, Scorsese had his best opening yet on Netflix. It's reportedly around 17 million people watched it, which is no Bird Box.
What is the number for Bird Box?
The 26 million people watched it. It was like, why was that a hit? But it's fantastic that entire families can see something and have access to it. They don't have to pay an arm and a leg. So I think that we're going to be seeing so much more of that. But just the fact that Scorsese went over to Netflix and Netflix is using the Academy rules against studios that you only have to release a movie for a week in New York and LA for it to be eligible for an award. I think that's funny, man. I think Netflix sat down and they said, let's just mess with everybody. Let's give artists the freedom to make movies that they want to make and then go and take everything away from the studio. That's awesome.
Right. And TV, or whatever you call it, the streaming platform that used to be TV, has gotten so good. And there's so many big movie stars that are there. Do you think, and I don't know how much you even get to watch that because you're so busy watching movies, but do you think that the TV product right now is better than the movie product?
I do. I think it's a lot better. I feel like we're in a new golden age of television, and that is really also something that should be influencing the movie industry a lot. They sort of have no choice but to tell better stories, be more inclusive, make it interesting, because it's so far gone at this point as to what movie studios are comfortable making because they have data on what the return will be.
Right.
So everything is a superhero movie, but guess what? Studios, you also made a superhero movie like The Joker, which was not...
Well, it was a comic book movie.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And so that was not about trying to conquer the world. That was about, you know, mental health in our country. It's like... they should be collecting information about these successes and moving forward.
It is interesting, though, because you just touched on this, Gray, but when you look at television versus film, television is so much more inclusive. I mean, the statistics are staggering. And I interview tons of executives and tons of actors and tons of showrunners, and they all say, we don't know why the film industry has not caught up. They just need to do it. You need to take more risks. But, Alex, you were talking about kind of the experience of film watching, so to speak. And I think 1917, to me, that was a film that you have to see in a theater to get the full experience. And that's really exciting to me. I mean, I saw it in the theater. I have not watched it on my couch, but I can't imagine that I would have walked away feeling the same way seeing that on my couch, because sitting in a theater, seeing it on the big screen, you feel like you're on a journey with those soldiers. And that, to me, is kind of the beauty of seeing a movie in the theater.
I felt that way about Ford versus Ferrari. Mm-hmm. That was a big screen movie, right? Mm-hmm. I felt that way about Parasite for a way, because that just felt bigger in that scene. Mm-hmm. And then there are other movies that maybe aren't that way that were nominated. I don't know. I mean, like, Joker was really good in the theater, but probably would have been good on
as a TV
show.
Yeah, I thought Little Women was a beautiful film, but I felt just fine watching it as a screener on television.
Right. And I think The Irishman, I actually wish that I saw that in a theater because since it is so long. I mean, I remember when it came out, there were memes online that people were saying, here's the 4-part miniseries of The Irishman and here's how you can watch it.
Yeah.
And I started watching it and I didn't have the time that particular day to finish it. And then the next day when I watched the second half, I felt like, ugh, I watched this the wrong way. Like, I should have just watched the whole thing. And I feel like I would have been more excited about it if I were sitting in the theater.
What do you think of the idea of people's attention spans now becoming so much shorter? I mean, you get a view on Facebook is like you look at something for 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. That's considered a view, literally.
Yes. I mean, I think that there's absolutely truth in that. People's attention spans, especially the younger generations, they just are shorter. I mean, you look at people who are under, I'd say, 20, and their content largely is Instagram content, which right. is maybe, and maybe 3 minutes is long-form content.
Yeah. Right, and then you have that the Quibi is being created by Jeff Katzenberg and Mac Whitman, and that and with major studio people, and that's 10 minutes is the longest you could possibly put something together in there.
This is indicative of an industry that really needs to figure out how to course correct a very large, slow-moving entity. Because if studios insist on doing things the way that they've always right. done them, they're going to get pretty poor results. Because as these kinds of viewers come up, get older, stick around, they are going to change viewing. And they're going to, so, and if you ignore them, then your studios are going to fold. Eventually, like, well, you know, Disney bought Fox this year. And we're eventually going to keep seeing things like that until we have one studio left and 8,000 streamers, because they're the only ones that seem to be able to take notes.
Yeah, and Disney Plus doing so well. Nick, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I want to pick up on what you were talking about with these Oscar movies that are, you know, $300 million for Joker, 120 plus for 1917. A lot of big movies this year that, you know, everybody saw. Not a lot of those smaller ones in the last couple years that we've been seeing kind of breaking through.
Which is good.
You like the big studio ones making their mark?
No, I like the fact that people have seen these films. It makes me so angry when we've got a whole list of best picture contenders and people that are not in the entertainment industry all go, what are these?
I remember everyone was saying, Shape of what? What's the Shape of what? Shape of Water. Like, people are still...
Water doesn't have a shape. Who is this guy?
But, you know, obviously, award shows, not just the Oscars, award shows across the board, the ratings have been nosediving mm-hmm. over the past 5 or so years. And one of the reasons for that is because people don't know the movies. They don't know the stars that are going to show up. And this year, I think that is completely different. I mean, we have not seen this much star power at the Oscars in quite some time. I mean, you right. look at just Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and The Irishman, and you have legend upon legend upon legend upon legend.
And just to wrap things up quickly, you think of the supporting actor nominees this year, just that category alone.
If any of them won.
Brad Pitt,
right.
Joe Pesci, mm-hmm. Al Pacino, Anthony Hopkins, yeah. and Tom Hanks.
I mean...
Right, yeah. I mean that is like a Mount Rushmore of Hollywood in one. And who would have thought at the beginning of this season that of all those actors, Brad Pitt would be the one that wins all the awards?
And he's the shoo-in.
Listen, it's crazy. Oh, and I'm happy about that. Let's
Me
get
too,
another.
Let's
great...
end on that. Uh-huh. The ladies are happy that Brad Pitt is winning the award.
His speeches are great.
But his speeches are great. I think they've really humanized him throughout this award mm-hmm. season, because before he was just seen as Brad Pitt the star, and now he's seen as Brad Pitt, a funny, humanized actor, and this was the perfect role for him. And I think it's so interesting that in all his years in this industry, he's never won an Oscar for acting, only
right.
for producing.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Well deserved.
And all of a sudden, he's just this cool divorced dude. You want to hear him talk?
I hope we're not jinxing. I just
With
said well 15 deserved.
15 kids from around
he
the world.
He hasn't won it yet. I hope I don't jinx that. He deserves to win.
He's
okay.
Gonna win.
Okay. Thank you both. You can hear more from them on the Issue Is TV show, which is also being posted as a podcast. We hope you'll check that out. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Sorry this was so short, but we got to go back to work and do the TV show. And look for Elizabeth's work on Variety and Gray's at Ms. Movie Phone and mine on The Issue Is. Thanks so much.